During this time of Ramadan, representing the holiest month in the Islamic calendar, a new children's book from a Philadelphia author focuses on a mother-daughter bond told through the eyes of a young girl's delight in wearing a kimar, traditional headdress. Joining me in conversation is Mighty Writers Program Director Jamila Tompkins-Bigelow, author of Mommy's Kimar. Jamila, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We'll get to the book, but describe your role as Program Director at Mighty Writers.
I manage the programs that happen at the South Philadelphia site. We offer writing programs for children. And basically, I will develop curriculum for those programs. I'll get volunteers trained. Basically, we're teaching kids how to write.
And so you've turned it around and you've written a children's book. What inspired you to go in that direction?
So I guess I became aware of the lack of books for African-American kids and African-American Muslim kids, or representing those kids anyway. I just didn't see any representations for my own kids of children who were like them, who had similar backgrounds to them. And I felt like I could write those kinds of stories. And I started having ideas about it and learning more about children's book writing. And I loved it. And when I fell in love with it, I just couldn't stop.
This book is delightfully told, again, through the eyes of a young girl, say 4 or 5 years old, and her delight in observing her mother's dress and then, as a flight of fancy, emulating it herself. It's illustrated as well. And talk about your work collaborating with the illustrator, how that came about.
So Simon & Schuster, once they accepted my manuscript for publication, the art director worked with the editor to kind of come up with a vision, and they picked an illustrator they thought could bring that forth. And I'm just so happy that Ebony Glenn, the illustrator, that she illustrated this book, because the work is perfect for this book.
To those not of the faith, some are perhaps more familiar with the term hijab. Explain the difference, if there is one.
Right. So the difference between hijab and kimar, they are the Islamic headscarf. Both words have a basis in the Quran. Hijab is used more by South Asian and Arab people, and African-American Muslims, they also use that word, too. However, kimar is also traditionally used a lot with African-American Muslims. And because I wanted to center African-American Muslims in this book, I use the word kimar.
Though this book, as you describe it, is intended for those of the faith, it's also mm-hmm. a general interest book. And it's so wonderful. You have a page about grandma, who's not of the faith, but the point is inclusivity is really what matters.
I feel like I wrote in two different levels. I wanted it to be a book where a Black American Muslim would look at it and be like, oh my God, somebody wrote about this, and like really recognize themselves in that. And I wanted it to also be a book where other people are reading it and going, wow, I learned something new.
You recently penned an opinion piece in the Philadelphia Daily News called "I'm Growing Tired of Explaining My Muslim Beliefs." Mm-hmm. Is it the fatigue of having to explain, defend, justify?
It's sort of the always being put on the defense, always having to explain the basics. So I sort of push back on that idea that I have to defend it. But I have been in lots of situations where in the first few minutes of meeting someone, they're asking me to explain why I wear a kimar, and it's just uncomfortable and weird because I don't know this person. And I think that was sort of the point that I was trying to make, is like, you know, always othering people and putting them on the defense and making them explain their choices. When I first meet someone, I don't ask them about why they made a certain choice in their clothing, right? And I just think that that's not something that you should do to Muslims either.
The article that you penned, the opinion piece, isn't just expressing that frustration / fatigue. It's also offering ways to cut through that. And why don't you review some of what you advocated?
One thing that I wanted to point out is that for people who are not of the dominant culture, of the mainstream culture, we spend a lot of time trying to learn the nuances, understanding things about the dominant culture. You know, I know a lot about Christianity, for example. I know a lot about the holidays. We do this work, and that's considered a norm. If we didn't know these things, then, you know, we'd lose some social currency, right? On the other hand, though, people who are from the dominant culture should also reach out and learn about other cultures as well, right? They should do some of the work. That should be interesting to them because we're all people, right? We all have interesting cultural, religious, whatever it is. Like, we have different backgrounds, and it's worth knowing. and, you know, cultivate relationships with people who are not from your same religion or ethnicity or culture. But, you know, if you cultivate those relationships, you learn a lot.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
Jamila Tompkins-Bigelow, author of Mommy's Kemar.